You mean, okay, okay, yeah, so you need to get fine.
So I went to the meeting instead.
Don't go to the bonnets first and say I'm on the diet. No, just don't go and see me.
Okay, everybody's listening to this. We're broadcasting live.
Good.
Alright, so good morning. So, yesterday we started, well, we were in the middle of discussing, the example was, there are many examples of the same thing. The example we gave was of Robinson Crusoe on a desert island, where there is nobody to see his menorah. The similar examples are, for instance, Hador ben Hanochrim, somebody who is living amongst non-Jews, and there is no other Jew who is going to see his Pirsumei Nisa. If he lights a menorah, another Jew will not see it. He could be in a faraway country, he could be in prison in Russia, who knows where. But such a person wants to light a menorah, but there's nobody to see it. And similarly, the person who arrives home in the middle of the night, he was planning to get early, but his plane was delayed, and he arrives home at 2 o'clock in the morning. And let's say, for example, either everybody's asleep and he can't wake them, or he lives on his own. He lives on his own and there's nobody else to see his menorah. Yeah, a solemn member comes back from a call. Any example where a person is in a situation where he wants to light menorah, but there's no Pirsumei Nisa to another Jew. Okay, there's no halacha Pirsumei Nisa to goyim. Right, that doesn't exist. Right, the menorah in Golders Green Station is not there for the goyim; it's there for us. But generally speaking, if you're in a situation, so that was the shaila we cleared. So Rabbi Goldblatt, who spoke yesterday, was sitting here during the halacha. And at just 9 minutes past six, I got an email from him saying that he found a Shaar HaTzion that discusses the Shaila. So, I'll read the Shaar HaTzion to you. I started looking at the Shaar HaTzion. I realized there's also a Bar Hetev there, and there's a Dirashu, and there's a lot of discussion on this. But the basic question is, if there is no Pirsumei Nisa, because there is no Jew to see my menorah, do I light a menorah at all? And if I light the menorah, should I make a brocha? Or can I make a brocha? Or would it be a shaila? Is it a sofik brocha? Is it a brocha levatola? Etc. So he brings down, the mechaber says that somebody who arrives in the middle of the night, yadlik. He just says, you light. He doesn't say anything about Pirsumei Nisa, about any audience. He doesn't say whether or not to make a brocha. Which is mashma from the Lashon of the Mechaber, that he lights in an ordinary way, and he lights a menorah, even though there's nobody to see it, and he lights the menorah, and he makes a brocha. The Bar Hetev says that if you look at the Beis Yosef, which is also the Mechaber, but it's the Mechaber's perish on the Tor, when the Beis Yosef is commenting on the Tor, in this situation, he says that it's a sfeika dedina. It's a sophic whether or not your yoitzer, if you light menorah and there are no watchers, there's no onlookers. And therefore, he says it's mashma from there that we have a klal of sophic brochas lahokel. That whenever you have a sophic whether to, or not to make a brocha. Kiyum mitzvah is a kiyum mitzvah whether you make a brocha or not. The brocha is not ma'akiv. Chazal said, midra bonon, that we should make brochas on kiyum mitzvah. So if you lift up your luluf, then your yoitze, your mitzvah, whether you made the brocha or didn't. Chazal were masakin that we make a brocha, and they allowed us to say the Shem Hashem. Although it says, loisiso es Shem Hashem lashov, yeah, that you're not allowed to use HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain. The Chazal said, this is a brocha, it's not in vain. But where it's a sofik, then you've got two things weighing up. You've got the mitzvah d'rabbonon, if you like, of making a brocha, versus the possibility that this might be a brocha levatola in a sofik situation. And therefore, because a sofik d'oraisa is l'chumra. So therefore, where we've got a sofik, whether to make a brocha or not, we don't. Says the Bar Hetev, although the mechaber here says just yadlik, but it's mashma from what he says in the Beis Yosef, that this is a sfeika, it's a sofik dedina, whether or not you do or don't light, where there are no onlookers, and therefore you should not make a brocha. He says it's mashma from there. The Mishnah Berurah then says, he adds pretty much the same thing, and the Mishnah Berurah says, he says, v'chein nirali l'hadlik b'brocha. He says, although it seems like from the chaba that it's a sofik, but he says, v'chein nirali l'hadlik b'brocha, v'chein noago ho'olam. He says the minhag is that if you light in the middle of the night, or you light in a place where you're in Timbuktu, or wherever it is, then you light with a brocha, and he says that's the minhag olam, even though it's not really understood lahalacha, because it should be a sofik brocha, and you should really light, lechoira, you should light without a brocha. Do we have a speaker? He's here. Okay, fine.
Started at Torway, Northwest London, Thursday, Yud Dalet Cheshvan, 4th December, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld Schlitter, in the honor of the Yoma. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Posen, in honor of the engagement of their daughter, Gila Posen, Tzichia to Neri Chaim Baturov, Neri Yoir. Yerot and Shimon Abbas, Demo Yisrael, the Shem, Lissila, Ilya Nishmas, our founder, Yosef Dov Ben, Rabbi Shimon Michal, Zvi Itzkovitz, the Chronoli Bracha.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
To see everyone so early. It's far too early for me there. Let's start with the parsha, and Mr. Hashem will get to Chanukah, but Ezra Hashem, as we go along. So let's start with a few questions, okay? Question number one. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu is preparing to meet Esau, and he splits up the family into different camps. And when Esau finally comes, the Torah tells us that first Leah stepped forward, Bilhah and Zilpah came. Bilhah stepped forward, bowed down, then her children. Zilpah with the children. Then Leah came with the children. And then all of a sudden it gets to Yosef and Rachel. Rachel and Yosef, and something changes. There the Torah says that Yosef and Rachel stepped forward. And Rashi says straight away that the Torah is telling us, seems to be implying, that this time something changed in the protocol. Because until now, the mother bowed down and then the children. But here we see that first Yosef bowed down and then his mother. And Rashi explains what's going on. And Rashi answers that Yosef said, I don't want Esau, this Rasha, to set his eyes on my mother. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to block her. I'm going to go in front of her and I'm going to block her. That sounds like a beautiful idea. And the truth is, because of this thing that Yosef HaTzadik did, he was zeicher to the bracha of Ali Ayin because of that. But what we need to understand is, how old was Yosef when this story took place? So the Seder HaDoros writes, probably he was somewhere between 4 and 6 years old. Now, I don't know how tall he was, but even judging by people like me, he couldn't have been too tall. He went up to his mother's knees maybe, Seder, but really, what were you thinking? And even let's say if he had a spurt, right, and he was mummish tall, fine, so you're going to block your mother, and what's going to happen? Esau will say, can you move out of the way? I want to say hello to your mother. So what was Yosef thinking when he took that step forward? How much was he anyway going to be able to protect his mother? It's question number one. Question number two is the Gemara in Chulin. The Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu was fighting with the Sorishal Esau all night, and it comes to Alois HaShachar, and the Malach says to him, let me go. So the Gemara in Chulin, Sad Yalef Amabei, says that Yaakov says to the Malach, Omalei Ganavata, Kavyustas, are you a thief? Shemisyurim and Ashacha, that you're scared of daylight? You don't want to be seen. So Omalei, the Malach says to him, Malachani, I'm a Malach. Omiyoim Shenivresi, and from when I was created, Lo Yigia Zamani Lo Yimashira Dachshov. It's never been my turn to sing Shira. Now is my turn, finally. And the question is, why Dafka now? What happens specifically now that enabled the Malach to be able to have this zechus to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch? Okay. Oh. Question number three. Moving over to Sefer Shmuel. There, the Torah tells us that Chana was davening, crying. She wanted to have a baby. And the Pasuk says, in Perik Aleph, Vatidoi neder l'Hashem. She made a neder l'Hashem. And the Pasuk continues explaining that her neder was that if she's zeicha to have a baby, a boy, the child's going to be a nozir. And the Mefarsh and the Radak, all of them are busy straight away. How can someone promise on someone else's behalf they're going to be a nozir? The Mishnah says in nozir that a woman cannot be madi her child to become a nozir. So she can't do it. So what was this neder she made? I'm making a neder, my child's going to be a nozir. It doesn't work. Another question. Interestingly enough, as Vasemes points this out, all the Yomim Tovim, they're all at the beginning of a month, or in the middle of the month. But somewhere between Rosh Chodesh to Tezvov, right? Whether it's Rosh Hashanah, whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos is dependent on days, but it's always somewhere towards the beginning. The only Yom Tov that we have, which is at the end of the month, is Chanukah. And we need to understand what's the difference. Pashtus, the difference is that all the Yomim Tovim, we try and do it when the moon is at its fullest. Right? When it's growing, when it's getting bigger and bigger, until it reaches its highest point. And that's why it's always at the beginning. But if that's the case, then what's Takup Shat? That Chanukah is at a time when the moon is going smaller and smaller. It doesn't symbolize good for Klal Yisrael when it's going smaller. We're coming, yeah. One more question for the Chassidim. The Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, speaks out and he asks that we make such a big noise about this nest of the Pach Shemen with the oil. But he says, I don't understand, he says. This nest took place every single day. The Gemara on Shabbos says that the Ner Maravi was lit every single day. It continued lighting after all the Neiros went out till the time came to light the next Neiros. It was still a light. And they had to put it out. So if this happened for probably 180 years, until Shimon HaTzadik was nifter by the second Beis HaMikdash, then why do we make such a noise about this Pach HaShemen that lit for so many days? It was a daily occurrence. Okay, I think we've asked enough questions. Let's get to the idea. There's a Medrash. The Medrash tells us, on the Pasuk of Va'aretz Hoysa, Toyu Va'voyu V'choshech Al Pnei Sahoy. So the Medrash Rabba tells us, Toyu, the world was Toyu, Zeh Godus Bavel, refers to Godus Bavel. Or Boyu, Zeh Godus Modai. That's referring to Godus Modai. V'choshech, Zeh Godus Yavon. So the Godus of Yavon, which is the time when the Nes Chanukah took place, is symbolized by Choshech, by darkness. And we have to understand a little bit about the essence of what darkness is. Because darkness, as we all know, I'm not talking about the darkness itself, I'm talking about what's within the darkness, isn't a different reality as to what's there when it's light. When you have a room which is a light, and when you have a room which is dark, everything is exactly the same. The difference is in us. We can't see what's there. We may have some idea. You could be in a garage and there's a car in front of you and you know there's a car. You have absolute knowledge about it. But the protim, the details, the nuances, you can try, feel and think, but you don't know what's your imagination and what's reality. But the chesaron isn't in the darkness. The chesaron is in us. We don't know. We can't see. There's something blocking us, stopping us from understanding. It's in the mitzvahs, like we said, we can't see. And it's also in spiritual things, right? We all have absolute knowledge that Meloich Haloretz Kavoidoi. We all have, every one of us will say straight out, we believe 100% in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Panosa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything comes from Hashem. But nevertheless, there are things that we do during the day that seem to contradict that piece of knowledge, right? It's something which sometimes is contradictory. The Chovis Halvavos, when he starts off in Shara Bitochen, his introduction writes that there was a Chosid Echod, right? So he already had a title of a Chosid, who went traveling. He wanted to go make Parnassa. And the Chovis Halvavos writes a true story that he was on the boat and he met a non-Jewish person there. And the guy said to him, "Who's your God?" So he said, "My God? My God is the one and only God." And he describes the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, you know, a long time with Mamasha passion. And he finishes talking. The guy says, "Where are you going to now?" He says, "I'm going to make Parnassa." And the guy, in absolute innocence, says, I don't understand. Your God can't give you Parnassa where you live?" And the Chosid of office writes that the Chosid said he didn't know where to put himself. He was like, boom, you're right. And he turned around and he went back off the boat. He went back to his hometown. And he explains to the Chosid of office that this Chosid was living in a Choshech. He couldn't see. We may have the knowledge, the idea, is bring it to our reality and living with it. And this is where the Nes of Chanukah begins. The Nes of Chanukah was a Nes that there was so much darkness. Things didn't make sense. You have a group of Chashmonoim, 13 people, who are going to fight against hundreds of thousands of the most powerful soldiers with all the weaponry. And they came along with one weapon, the Chashmonoim. A bitachon and a munah, a hakara, recognition that ein oid mulvadoi. There is nothing here other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That light that they switched on for us is the light that comes to take away the darkness that Yavon tried doing. Because Yavon's darkness is a darkness that no other golos has. In every single other golos, the Farshim speak out, Klal Yisrael recognized who they were. We know who we are, we're proud who we are. And we have absolute clarity on that. But we're suffering at your hands. In the Inquisition, whatever it was, Klal Yisrael were willing to do anything to give up their lives. Because it was so clear to them that I'm a Yid, you're a Goy. And there was also, they were able to verbalize and say that I prefer to be the one being hit, being persecuted and tortured, than the one doing the actual action. Because there was a clarity. But Yavon came along with the darkness, with the Choshech. The Choshech of Yavon, Rosh Shabrinka speaks out, was that they managed to infiltrate within our very essence and make us start doubting ourselves. There was a Choshech. There's a math book, an English book, and the Torah. Is the Torah Taka so special? Are we Taka a special nation? They made us say over and over again, "Ein lanu chelek b'likei Yisrael." We don't have a portion in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? They were systemically, you know, therapeutically, they'll call it a narrative. They were making Klal Yisrael build a narrative about themselves that we're a garnished, we're nothing. There's nothing going for us. We're like every other nation. So they came along with a choshech to not just to hurt us, but to mamish make us feel like we're nothing. And on that, the Chashmonaim came along, says Rosh Shabinkas, and they came along with their Mesiras Nefesh to come along and relight and say, it's not like that. In Brisk, it was known, I'm sure you've all heard this many times, that the non-religious sect there, they made a show once. And in their show, there was a massive group of people, and all these people were wearing talis and tefillin, and they were off to war. And then the person stood up and he says, whoever just got married should go home, and a few people left. Whoever just built a house, go home, and a few people left. Whoever just planted a vineyard, a few people left. They said, whoever's scared should go, and everyone else left. Those two people left there. Two old people, Reb Chaim Riska and the Chofetz Chaim. And then they made the whole show that Reb Chaim said to Chofetz Chaim, he should go first because he's a Kohen, right? And that was the show. And they came to Reb Chaim Riska afterwards about it. And he said, yo, it's Taka, it's a good show. They're 100% right. Chaval, they didn't finish the show. Because the show ends at Taka, we won the war. But the problem is when you come and you hack at someone again and again at their mamish, at their very identity, and you make them feel like a nothing is the biggest power. It's a very scary thing. And the Choshech of Yavon, says Rosh Shabinkas, was one of the things that they managed to do was they made us think that we are nothing. We are nothing and we haven't got the ability to grow. And Chanukah is a time when we're given that light, that oil, to remind us that actually we can. Look what happened. Look at the Nei Shemen that didn't make sense. Look at the Chashmonaim who fought. It didn't make sense. But we managed. Let's come back a little bit before we carry on here and speak out how it comes into here. So Yosef Taka, when he went in front of his mother, what was he thinking? He was thinking one thing. He was thinking, like the Torah says, "A'egvenu." You're right. I don't know if I'm going to manage to block Esau from seeing Rachel. And even if I do, I don't know how long it's going to be. But I'm going to step forward and take that action. I'm not going to allow myself to say, really, can you manage? Do you think you'll be able to? What's going to happen anyway? The truth is, Rashi tells us in Parshas Vayechi, that actually there was a nation who managed to block Rachel completely. So Taka, something happened, but he didn't know that. For him, it was all about, stop thinking, what can I do? Am I really going to be able to? Can I really be such a person? You see a breach, you step into the breach. How will you fix it? I don't know. But I know I've stepped in. There's something there that needed fixing. I've got millions of questions how it's possible. But I'm still going to step into it. The Tolna Rebbe speaks out that when he had two girls, and then he had a boy. And he wanted to call his son after his father-in-law. His father-in-law was, his name was Yaakov Yitzchok. The problem was, Tolna Rebbe himself, he himself was called Yitzchok Menachem. So he couldn't call the name Yitzchok. But Yaakov he could call. But his father-in-law had a shitta that to call a half a name, just one name out of two, it's not a name. It's nothing, it's not called being called after that person. So he didn't know what to do. So he sent a message to the Pnei Menachem, to the Lev Simcha, to ask him, should he do nothing, or should he call one name? So the Lev Simcha sent back the following words. He said, garnished is aggressor garnished. Doing nothing is a bigger nothing. So what? He's saying, I can't call him this name, so I'm not going to call him anything. the idea, and again, I'm not going the halakhic aspect of it, but the idea he was bringing out was that when there's space to do something, do something. Because if you do nothing, then nothing's going to come out of it. But something you can do. Right? When it came to Yaakov fighting with the Sorishal Esav. So Sorishal Esav is fighting Yaakov. And he says to Yaakov, I've got to go. Why? Because it's my time to sing Shira now. We asked, Dafkan now, you've got to sing Shira? And the answer is yes, Dafkan now. Why? Because what's the job of the Satan? So we take on, the job of the Satan is to push the person down. But the Zohar writes clearly that it's not like that. The Zohar gives a moshel. And the Zohar says a moshel of a king who had a son that he wanted to test him, to challenge him. So he calls in one of his ministers and he said, listen, give my son some test. Let's see if he manages to pass it. Says the Zohar, if the son manages to overcome the test, then the king is very happy with his minister. But if the minister manages to make the son fall, then the king is annoyed with the minister. I wanted my son to pass. Which means that what the Zohar is implying is that the Satan Be'etzem wants us to pass. He wants us to overcome him. And therefore, when Yaakov Avinu fought with the Malach and didn't give up, he continued fighting, the Satan had mamish come to its fruition. He says, I fulfilled that which I was brought down to do. I managed to test him and he didn't fall. So now I can sing Shira. Dafka now is a time when I can sing Shira. That's what the Satan was saying. Now I want to be able to go. When a person gets an Nisayon and he thinks himself is too hard, is too difficult, I'm being pushed down. But if we reframe the event and think of it in another way, that the Satan is tackle pushing us, but he's pushing us because he wants to help us grow. He wants to help us get to another place. We have the ability to stop it. Chana made a neder. She made a neder that her child's going to be a nozeh. How can she make such a neder? This is a flourishing of all different explanations. But one of the explanations I saw brought down, a beautiful idea was, that what Chana said was, I know I can't make my child be a nozeh, but what I can do is, I could raise him from birth in the life of a nozeh. Everything that I can, everything I do, the way I treat him, the way I raise him, the way I educate him, is all going to be based around being a nozeh. So he's going to grow up living a life of a nozeh. Living a life of a nozeh, automatically when he gets older, he'll carry on living that life. So her neder was, I'm going to do everything I can to be mechanech him in such a way. The idea that I took out from here was that a person, first of all, when it comes to parenting especially, you know, everyone's parenting this and how to do this. There's an idea that if we have an aspiration, we have a dream, we have a very clear goal, what we want to get to, where we want to get to, it's possible. Anything's possible. You could raise your child as a nozeh. You could raise your child in any possible way. Like, it's so clear from what goes on in the world, right? The different types of people that grow up. But there has to be a matara. There has to be an aim and a clarity. But if a person has that clarity, that light, then they can do it. They can do anything they want. So much so that the psukim there tell us, well actually it's the Gemara Brachos Amud Aleph, that in a tefillah, she asked for a specific child. The child, she said, shouldn't be too tall, shouldn't be too small. The child shouldn't be a chochem, and the child shouldn't be a tipish. So the Farshim are very busy, you don't want your child to be a chochem, right? They have different explanations there. But one of the explanations that they speak out is that she says, I don't want a child who's gonna be too clever. I want it to be a regular child. Just someone regular, someone normal. Otherwise Rashi says there people are gonna be an Ayin Hara. Okay, no problem. Later on, Shmuel was born and he paskened the halacha before Eli. He was Chayiv Misa. And Chana davened for Shmuel once again. And the Pasuk says that she said, Ala nar hazeh his palalti. I davened for this specific child. Which means, the Mepharshim explained, that everything she had asked for in her tefillah came to fruition. The child that she asked for, who's not too small, not too tall, not too clever, is that. Which means that Shmuel was a regular child. What we would call a normal child. Lemaisa, what do Chazal tell us? That Shmuel and Novi became on the level of a Moshe and a Aaron. Like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, right? So you got a regular child who became so big. How's that possible? Why so is that even regular people like us have the ability and the koiches within us to go wherever we want? Our koiches are endless. But we have to believe in ourselves. We have to really believe in ourselves. And Hanukkah is this time where we're given the opportunity to stop and think to ourselves, what's going on? The Beis Yisrael speaks out that you're 100% right. When it came to the Ner Maravi, there was a nes going on every single day. It was a light, 100%. That's not a big thing to talk about. That's because the Shekhinah was Shayer there. When the Shekhinah is Shayer in Klal Yisrael, of course it's going to be like that. The test is when there's no Shekhinah, where we're in Golos, when we're in Choshech, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take that step forward. The Chashmonaim came into the Beis HaMikdash, it was in complete utter distraction. There was no oil there. Really, they should have turned around. They haven't got oil. But they didn't. They pushed themselves with taking that step forward. When a person is willing to look through the darkness, to give that extra push, to believe in themselves, that opens up new avenues. So much so that we make such a trask about this dafka, this specific nace. And that's why it's at the end of the month. It's at the end of the month, because at the end of the month is when taka, the moon, is at its lowest. It's nismayit. It's at a time when a person thinks, nothing going for me. I'm not in my growth area now. I'm in a time where there's nothing going. And dafka then, Chazal said, that's when Hanukkah is going to be. Because that's when a person has to know when it doesn't look hard, when it doesn't look easy, when it's hard and when it's dark. That's when you have to take the step forward. I saw brought down from a Yid who does this Arachim, you know, this Kiruv place in Eretz Yisrael. One of the Yid who does it, I think he was called Rabbi Yishai Liss. I think. Yeah? So he writes there that he had a group of boys that he learned with from a kibbutz in the north of Eretz Yisrael. A non-religious kibbutz completely. Now he said that, I don't know, I don't even know Eretz Yisrael, but you know, there's any country you go to, they've got the tourist attraction sites. So one of the biggest tourist attraction sites in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, is they say, is Bnei Brak. Right? Not only that, the tourists come from Tel Aviv. So they live next door there, the spatial proximity is next door. But from a mental perspective, they're miles away. And apparently it's become a very big thing. Thursday nights, Cholod, Kegel, there's mamish groups there with round calls going around, giving a talk. So these group of boys said to their, you know, their mentor, can you take us to Bnei Brak? We want to go. So you know, it's a nice idea. And he arranged a whole itinerary for them. He takes them Thursday. And they're going around. The last stop was by Rabbi Aaron Leibsteiner. So he comes and he tells them they're from a kibbutz in the north. They're not religious. And Rabbi Aaron Leib gave them a small, you know, chizuk drosha for a few minutes, but in his very, very heavy ivrit. Not in the Ashkenazi dialect, but it was very hard for him to understand what he said. He finished speaking. And the mentor said to him, can you give them a brocha? So Rabbi Aaron Leib didn't answer. He said again, "Can you? The boys want a blessing from you." He said, "I don't." And this time he said it in clear Hebrew, absolutely clear. "I don't give brachas to Rishayim." He said, Rabbi Yishai said over, he thought he didn't hear correctly. He said, "Rebbe, they do a Shir Torah every single week. They come for a Shir in Torah." So Rabbi said, "Do they keep Shabbos?" He said, "They don't keep Shabbos." Yeah. He said, "I don't give brachas to Rishayim." I remember, he said, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Aaron Leib said, and the suffering that I suffered at the hands of these kibbutzniks, he said, "I don't give bracha." I wish I felt mamish. He said he felt so uncomfortable and embarrassed, didn't know what to say. Fine, they left the house. They left the house, everyone went back home. He was waiting for the phone call, he said, to tell him that they're cancelling the shir next week. But it never came, so he went back to the shir. Like nothing had happened, everyone carried on, shir, normal. So at the end of the shir, to say to them, like, you know, want to know what's going on, wanted to feel the matzav. He said, "Tell me, did you enjoy last week's, you know, the whole excursion to Bnei Brak?" They said, "Ah, very good shmack, everyone enjoyed it." He said, "Really, what was like the highlight of it?" "Highlight was when we went to the Grand Rabbi." He was like, you enjoyed that part? They were like, "Yeah." He said, "I mean, he wasn't very nice to you." They said to him, "Listen, we walked into his house, we were shocked. This is how he lives. There was nothing there, there was no gashmius, it was all mamish, simple and plain. Right? We walked around there, we hear him speaking, we see a person who mamish, physical doesn't mean anything to him. Right? And then all of a sudden, we asked him for a brocha, and he refuses to give us. Why? We don't, Shabbos doesn't give to Rishon. It was the first time in our life that someone has spoken to us honestly. They weren't trying to be machnif us. They said to us clearly, you don't keep Shabbos, you behave in the way that you do, the actions you do. I don't give a bracha to Rishon. I'm sorry." He said, "We've never been spoken to like that. It was a massive shock for us. But the more we thought about it, the more we realized what a real place it came from. And yeah, that taka had the biggest impact. But Rabbi, they said, we want something, though. We want the bracha. to tell us what to do to get the bracha. And he said he started working them on Shmir Shabbos. They all make themselves to keep Shabbos. Now the story isn't here to tell you that we should speak to people like that. It's not for us. You have to be Rav Steinman to know how to speak to people. 100%. But the nekuda I want to bring out from the story is that these boys had a choice. Someone told them off in a very unpleasant way. In their faces, you're a Rasha. You had two choices now. Either turn around and say, Kol Tov. You know what I mean? Finished. I want this type of life. I'm not interested. But they didn't do that. They were pushed down. There was a choshech that enveloped them. But in place of succumbing to the choshech, they said, no, we're going towards the light. We're going towards the oil. We're not going to fall down. And because of that, they grew. They became Shomer Shabbos. I don't know where they're holding in life now. Which means that the idea of Yavon, which comes along and infiltrates every single one of us in the world that we live in. I experienced it myself, you know, when the whole story of October 7, everything going on and all the goyim around us, as you know, I was hanging around a lot of goyim, and you're being pushed in every way possible, right? The Jews are bad, the Jews do this, and they murder this. And you start feeling, well, it's a horrible feeling. And you lose the confidence in yourself. And that's why Baruch Hashem was zeicher to a Hanukkah. That the Hanukkah comes along and reminds us, remember who you are, remember where you come from, remember your endless capability that we have. Because every single one of us in every stage of life, can I still become a gadol in Israel? Can I still become someone who, you know, who aims to reach big? When Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel, a Shiva of Meir, was nifta, I can't remember his name, it was a Yid, I think it was an English Yid, I think, who he had retired, he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he said over, they went to Baran Lev, he's not working, was retired, and he showed him a plan he made to be able to finish Shas over the next 10 years, but learning Shas properly. And Reb Nosson Zvi said to him, it's not full enough. I think you can finish Shas in a shorter amount of time. So go back and redo it. So he was a person who liked making, you know, plans, and he redid it, and he managed to find extra time to finish it within 8 years. He went back. It happened around 7-8 times, he said. Each time Reb Nosson Zvi said, one second, you can do much more, you can do this. He said, by the time he finished with Reb Nosson Zvi, he had already narrowed down to finishing Shas. I can't remember how long, I'm not going to make up. But in a mamish a short time, be'ian, using up every moment of his day. And he said it changed his life. He said over by one of the Spadia. He said it changed his entire life. Why? Because Reb Nosson Zvi was showing him that the problem is we live, we build ourselves a narrative. This is who I am, this is my place in life, and I'm just going to carry on living that life. Hanukkah has to wake us up and remind us that no, we can still change. We can make a new narrative. We can try something new. We can take on a new learning system. We can do something different in Chesed. Whatever it is, I can change. It's endless, my capabilities. And that is Hashem the Brocha that I hope we'll all come out with from Hanukkah, that we overcome the Choshech that Yavon put onto us. Shlach HaRabba. Because that's Dafka when the Levona is going smaller and smaller. That is when the Levona goes smaller and smaller, so it looks like there's nothing doing anymore. Don't bother trying. Dafka then they say, no, I know the moon is small, but your capabilities are still there. Find that light in the Choshech.
Sure, thank you.
Six.
6 and 3.
So,
what is this? It's
having worked out at his house now. And his wife is away.